This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
And it's time to cross to Asian football writer Martin Lowe, who joins us now. Martin, thank you so much for coming on FNR.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys. How are you?
We're doing well, and we're excited for the upcoming Asian Champions League. And SIPG, or Shanghai SIPG, are in town ahead of their clash with Sydney FC at Jubilee Stadium. Do you have any of the latest team news ahead of this match day three clash?
I suppose the biggest headlines are that all four overseas players have travelled. So you've got the big names, the Hulk, Oscar, Elkson, but also Adil Akhmedov have all travelled. Shanghai travelled to this in pretty ropey form, if you could say that. They don't lose too many, so they lost their first game of the season at the weekend. So they will be looking to kind of bounce back, but they are a team that can be got at. The team that they lost against at the weekend, Chongqing, Adrian Mierzewski, scored one of the goals. So if that's an omen for Sydney, I'm hopeful that they could probably do them over.
I think Sydney just wish they still had Mierzewski at their disposal. He's been sorely missed this season, his creativity and inspiration. But talking about SIPG, I mean, everybody knows Hulk and Oscar from their exploits in Europe and for the national team in Brazil. But what about Odil Akhmedov? You know, fans may have seen a little bit of him playing for Uzbekistan, but what kind of player is he and what does he bring to the SIPG lineup?
Well, I think he gives it a bit more stability. The weakness, clearly, for Shanghai SIPG and many kind of Chinese teams is defensive areas, because they load up on the foreign talent in attacking areas, and there isn't it's an afterthought for defensive capabilities. When Akhmedov plays, they have that kind of spine, and it was telling that he didn't feature over the weekend because they can then play three foreigners in the Chinese Super League. So when he's not there, they look a completely different team defensively. Saying that, he has popped up with the odd goal this season already. He's already looking like that player that can make the difference, especially when you've got Hulk, who, if any of you viewers will watch it tonight and haven't seen him for a while, he has even bulked up another few pounds from what he usually has. So he's not the most mobile player, but we all know kind of what he can do when he's on the ball. He scored a cracking goal at the weekend where he didn't have to move too much, but it was a typical Hulk strike from good old 30 yards right into the top corner. So I think that's what Sydney have got to kind of be looking out for. I don't think... I could be kind of wrong with this, but I wouldn't expect Shanghai to blitz Sydney. But in the key moments, I think they've got the players that can really hurt them and kind of turn defence into attack very quickly and kind of brutally kind of kill them off.
I can't imagine Hulk being any more muscly than he already is. I think sometimes he's too obsessed with the gym to actually focus on, you know, football.
Yeah, you would expect that. It is really kind of, I've always kind of come into the season kind of a bit worried of kind of the size of him and how mobile he is. And in the first match against Kawasaki at home, where it was a 0-0 cagey match where Kawasaki probably were the best team. And then Hulk from nowhere, I barely saw him run in the whole game, really. Just took the game by the scruff of the neck and took on a couple of players and scored a brilliant goal. And he has it in his locker. He looks like a man that can't get past anybody, but that strength and power cannot be underestimated at this level.
And what kind of formation do you expect them to employ? They seem to have played a few different systems in their opening Super League games.
They usually play three at the back, with a couple of wing backs. Obviously, now that they can play their full strength squad's going to be the team that plays in the ACL. As I say, that the foreigners aren't capped for them in the ACL, so they can play all four of them. The key player to kind of shoehorn into it is one of the Chinese players who's effectively the weight is on him because their talisman from last year in their title challenge was Wu Lei, who's gone to Espanyol in Europe over the summer. He was the top scorer in the league and he carried quite a lot of the burden for SIPG's success last year. And it's Liu Wenjun, who's a bit older. I think he's coming into 30s now. Not the same calibre of player as Wu Lei. However, he popped up again with another goal, but he's been kind of shifted around depending on the formation, so he could be one of the wing backs. But yeah, I'd expect them to play three at the back and then with wing backs, and then try to push up Hulk and Elkson as far as they can. And as I said before about Hulk, they'll try and minimise what work he needs to do in the legs until he gets the ball in the final third.
Yeah, interesting. Wu Lei's transfer to Espanyol. There were the usual, you know, fans coming out and saying, "Oh, this is just to sell shirts in China." But you know, having seen him play against Australian teams in the past, and the way he started in Spain seems to suggest, you know, he's more than enough talent to succeed over there. But how do they replace him? Obviously, you've mentioned this guy Liu, who seems to be in pretty good form to start the season, 3 goals. And maybe hasn't made the impact that you'd want in the Asian Champions League thus far. But have they really replaced the goal scoring that Wu Lei continually offered season after season?
I think it's impossible to replace Wu Lei with a Chinese player. Effectively, he's head and shoulders above anybody at the moment, and that's been seen with his transition to European football. We've seen that Elkson's played a lot more games this year. I don't think he has missed a Chinese Super League match, whereas he would be rotated a bit more with the other foreigners because they just need that goal scorer at the end. Elkson, obviously, had been around for a while. He was around with Guangzhou Evergrande when they were successful in Asia. He has that kind of knack of scoring very scruffy goals and that kind of player that they need. But saying that, as I say, Liu Weijun, the pressure is on him. He's been around for a while and hasn't necessarily lived up to the expectation. But it's very difficult to kind of replicate what Wu Lei did for them, because in the end, he was their stellar player. He stood above Hulk and Oscar and these players, and he really was telling last year.
So what are the weaknesses that they can exploit? You mentioned the defensive structure of SIPGs maybe being a weak point common to all the Chinese teams. Sydney FC have been really unsuccessful in this competition thus far. What kind of strategy do you think would be best employed to try and make the most of those gaps?
I think it's positivity. I think this is the best chance that Sydney probably will ever have. They're in good form. They obviously turned over Melbourne at the weekend. They'll be on a high from that. They're at home. Shanghai don't lose many games, as I say, but they're coming off a defeat at the weekend. So I think going into it as a positivity and go at that defence. The defence is mediocre even by Chinese standards. Guangzhou would probably have a better defence. Beijing have definitely got a better defence. So I wouldn't. It is a team that can be got at. Trying to minimise the threat of Hulk and Oscar and so forth is going to be the telling thing. I think Sydney's struggle early on in this competition has been mainly an unlucky kind of thing, losing to Ulsan and not doing too well against those sort of teams isn't a kind of a recognition of where they're at. Josh Galante, having him back in the side and focused on the task in hand, he could be quite key to kind of minimise the threat from Hulk and Oscar. But I think the defence, I think when you've got kind of Adam Lafondra and with Ninkovic supplying him, I don't think there's going to be a difficulty to break that defence. It's just going to be seen if they can keep Hulk and et al. At bay at the other end.
And Martin, Group H actually looks quite compact now looking at it.
Sorry, I haven't got the groups in front of me. Group H, which group's that? Sorry.
That's Sydney's group. So Ulsan on 4 points, Shanghai and Kawasaki on 3 each, and then Sydney bottom on 1. So really all to play for.
Yeah, definitely. As I say, they've all kind of dropped points when you thought that they would come ahead. Each of the games has been very tight indeed. Sydney have got a horrible group on paper. So Kawasaki, I was going into the season, I would expect them to be the strongest Japanese side. That hasn't come to pass just yet. SIPG being Chinese champions and Ulsan just being very regular with Junior Nigarao up front, who's very influential in the attacking sense. But the fact it's this tight this early on, and as I say, with Sydney kind of going into this match with all the cards, I would say, with the form book, with kind of less of a worry to kind of not to be resting players for the weekend, with obviously with final series coming up in the next few weeks. I think it is, they can go for it. If hand on heart, I would expect Kawasaki and Shanghai to progress in the long term. But I think with Sydney, if they can get a good result tomorrow, I think they can actually put pressure on Shanghai to progress as well.
And moving on to Evergrande, who Victory will be facing away from home also tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time, the late kickoff there. The big question I want to know is what on earth is going on with Fabio Cannavaro? He seems to be coaching the Chinese national team at the same time. Is that a permanent appointment? Is he going to leave Evergrande, or is he going to do the football manager special and take both?
It hasn't been suggested if it's permanent or not. It's assumed to be permanent, but he's not going to be leaving Guangzhou anytime soon, I wouldn't expect. China and politics and Guangzhou Evergrande as being a government club has a lot of links that go back quite far. So it's even going back from kind of Macho Lippi, who was the previous coach of both Guangzhou Evergrande and Chinese national team. So it's not surprising that Cannavaro has been given this dual role. On a footballing basis, it's probably a bit dubious that Cannavaro has been given this role. Obviously, he was the first manager not to win a title in the last 7 years for Guangzhou Evergrande, so he's not got the stellar requirements to kind of take up that role. And obviously, his first international break with China, they did spectacularly poorly in the China Cup, losing Thailand and Uzbekistan, and really kind of in a tournament that was supposed to be there to play them in the largest kind of worldwide scale. I just think that generally China are in a mixed period at the moment. Probably not the best time to be bringing in a club coach who predictably picked quite a lot of Guangzhou Evergrande players. Saying that, domestically, Guangzhou have started very well in the league. They've won the first four games, haven't conceded a goal yet. There was a lot of question marks before the season of whether they were going to be able to rekindle some of that quality. They've self-imposed their own overseas limits. So every other team is allowed to play three players. Guangzhou have come out and said, we'll only play two foreign players, which seems baffling for them, considering they have got four players on the books that they could play. But those two players couldn't be any better. And I would stress the fact that they're probably the two best foreign players playing in Asia at the moment. So Paulinho, formerly of Spurs and Barcelona, and Anderson Talisca, who was formerly of Besiktas, I think it was that. But I think he...
Ooh, I think we've just lost Martin Lowe. We'll endeavour to get him back online as soon as possible. But yeah, just mentioning Anderson Talisca, who played in Portugal for quite a long time, striker and winger. He's been absolutely prolific so far for Guangzhou. They've also got a guy they won't be playing, as Martin just mentioned, Tyus Browning, the former Everton youngster, 24, has decided to go over to China and earn the big bucks. So he's not going to be playing in the Champions League, but very, very odd, stuck out to me. And also, Zheng Ji, the 38-year-old Chinese central midfield player, still playing for the national team. He is... I'm just a stalwart, and I saw an article the other day. Actually, we've just got Martin Lowe back on the line. Are you there, Martin?
Yes, I'm back. Apologise for that.
It's all right. You were just interrupted in the middle of talking about Anderson Talisca.
Yeah, and what a time to kind of interrupt me, considering how good a form he's been on. He's really been kind of incredible since he arrived last summer at Guangzhou Evergrande. He was really the reason why they stayed in the title race. And I think he's definitely a player that would be playing at the top European clubs I think his career in Europe, just before he came over to China, didn't really go too well. He was at Benfica and Besiktas, but I think he is that kind of player that could be going to a really top team. He was initially played as a kind of centre forward, out and out number nine, in the first half of his season last year, but he's been pushed back deeper to play in behind the forwards this time. And all he'll do will be looking to pick it up just outside the area, really kind of have as many shots as he possibly can to kind of test the keeper. So I think this is going to be an area that I think Victory need to kind of be wary of, to look at those pot shots as he's going to be testing Lawrence Thomas from distance.
Yeah, absolutely. Those kind of players are absolutely terrifying to Victory fans. Mm-hmm. But one of the stalwarts of this Guangzhou team, and I believe still playing for the Chinese national side, is Zheng Ji, if I'm saying that correctly. Had a few spells in England, played for Charlton, and you know, has captained the Chinese team for years and years. And I think I saw, this is a Google translated article, so it might be incorrect, but there was some sort of Chinese high performance specialist saying a couple of weeks ago that Zheng Ji was fit enough to play till he was 45. So maybe he's still around for years to come.
Yeah, it might be because of the dearth in quality of Chinese footballers coming through, but he is still pretty good for his age. I think 39, I think something like that. He gets a bit more of a reduced time, so he only came off the bench at the weekend. But yeah, he's still got the quality there, and he's Pirlo-esque in the fact that he doesn't need to he doesn't make up too many ground, but his passing and his breakup skills are there to kind of be admired from that point. This Guangzhou team, for anybody that kind of been following the Asian football for quite a while, is very made up of those players that were successful at getting the Champions Leagues back 5-10 years ago. So Feng Jiangtang in the back, Zhang Lingpang, these sort of players, the newer players, the Paulinho, the Talisca, and there's also a centre-back partnership that probably will get rolled out for the ACL, and it seems to be their ACL centre-back partnership is Park Ji-soo, the Korean centre-back they got from Gangnam, and Tyus Browning, who is a Scouser, effectively coming from Liverpool. I've been looking at his progress quite attentively. He was brought over to China. He's got a Chinese grandparent. He's looked as going to be the next kind of wave of players that will be made into the Chinese national team, going to be nationalised. At the moment, he's still playing under the English passport, so he will be classed as a foreigner. But he is a player to kind of look out for in the long term, and could make a real dent in kind of Asian football and Chinese football in particular.
That's interesting. I didn't realise he had the family connection. It did seem a very strange signing when I saw him leaving Everton to go to China. It's not a path well trodden by young English players.
Indeed, and that's been the theme. There's always seems to be a theme in Chinese football of things around the rules and how they can maximise the benefit for the national team in the long run. Beijing Guan have done the same for two other players, a Norwegian player, John Husetter, and another player who's been based in England who played for Arsenal, I think youth team, but mainly Brentford, Ian Yanaris. Both of those players have been registered as Chinese players and will look to be kind of be blended into the national team. This is a process that China are kind of pushing as the next future kind of goal, considering how diminishing their talent pool is for the Chinese football team. It seems a bit outdated, and a lot of teams have kind of given up on this nationalisation of players. But Tyus Browning is one of those players that they'll be keen on kind of nationalising and bringing through the national team.
And just looking at this game, Melbourne Victory fans could be forgiven for thinking they've got almost no hope. I mean, the Victory aren't even taking a full complement of bench players. They've only got 14 outfielders with them, and they're only going to have a 5-man bench when AFC rules permit 7. So they've left a few, you know, youngsters behind that could have made up the numbers. And Victory with 2 losses to start from 2 games, what looked like such a promising ACL campaign seems to be over before it started. Do you give them any chance of a result here?
It's difficult, isn't it? But they've got to see it as this is why you're in the Champions League. There's no better place to kind of play. considering the rest of the Champions League, there's barely half crowds come out to watch these, and that's a problem for another day to kind of be discussing. But in Guangzhou, the crowds are usually quite sell-out crowds in Tenhe Stadium. And we all remember when Western Sydney Wanderers went to, all the way to the final in the Champions League and beating Guangzhou, and that Tommy Urich goal that silenced the crowd. These kind of moments that stick with you in Australian football. So I think there is that chance of they could have got something here if they put the full resources behind them, especially when Guangzhou Evergrande aren't kind of the team of old. They are still a very strong team, and I expect them to get out of the group. But it was a telling time to say this is the reason why we're qualifying for the Champions League. These are the games that we're going to look to win. And they've only... It has been a disappointing start. So I don't think they've necessarily approached the games correctly. I think they've probably gone for it too early, kind of losing to Sanfrecce last time out was a very bitter blow to kind of take. But we'll see. We'll see kind of like how fit and firing some of these players are. But it does look like it, as you say, that Kevin Muscat's looking at the final series rather than an extended run in the Champions League.
Well, Martin, thank you for joining us on Evenings on FNR and giving us that full preview of the two matches ahead of tomorrow's kickoff. We wish you all the best and look forward to chatting to you again sometime soon.
No worries. I'd like that.